Should I say good evening? I did not expect a big crowd like that. Wow. Bless you for coming here. It's very good. Okay. Is this too loud? No? Good. I'm going to start with two of my favorite Bible verses. One is from Matthew 5. And the verses 43 and 44. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, yes, I'm sorry, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despise you. You know, God put me to the test on this verse, and you will hear about it. But it all brings to you, I'm kind of a called drippy person. And I told a friend of mine about that, and she said, you just tell people you have a wet spirit. So put up with me, please. And the other verse is from Psalm 119, and it's the 71st verse, and it said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. And amen to that. Because even though I went through 12 and a half of persecution under the Nazis, because I had a Jewish mother, and now my father left us, he was Aryan or German, and he kind of just threw us into the arms of our persecutors. But, you know, I'm grateful that it happened because it really brought me so close to my Lord. I would never have wanted to miss out on 1 second of those 12 and a half years because I would not have the strong faith now if it hadn't been for that. Well, I was born in a very large city in Germany called Breslau. It was in the capital of the province of Silesia, very close to the Polish border, but still in Germany. My mother came from a Jewish background, and my father, the German, my mother had left her Jewish faith, but she really didn't have any faith much. And my father was an atheist. Alone I can, he would say. He didn't need the Lord. Religion was for the poor and the stupid. But, and so there was no religion in our home whatsoever. We didn't say prayers at the table, nothing. But when my father left us, we had to give up our beautiful little home and move into a different neighborhood of less sophisticated people, simple people. And God needed me there because there I found new playmates. I was sad that I had to leave my other playmates behind me. But these new kids, they were Christians and they invited me to their church. And I said, but before I went with them, I said, you know, oh, thanks. I'll need it. And it was really interesting how God engineered it. He does. He does wonderful things. I tell you, without him, I could have never lived. And it was marvelous when I went to church for the first time, and they had big stained glass windows, and they depicted Christ's birth, life, and death, and the resurrection. And this is the first time I saw him in the picture, and I thought, oh, wow. And he certainly came into my heart. You see, I came from nothing, no religion in the home, but he had a way to find me. I was so happy that it happened because all of a sudden, all my anxieties about what's happening out there, the Nazis and everything, it just vanished. The circumstances out there still were there. But God didn't take those away, but he gave me the strength to walk through it. God doesn't always take our circumstances away, you know, but he can give us the strength. And he went, and I always said to him, Lord, walk with me. And he certainly did, every step of the way. And whenever I get trippy, as I said, it's because I am so awed at the wonderful things he does for me. I feel so undeserving, but he won't let go of me. In fact, when I first found somebody that got me introduced to a lady that would write my book, it was Jan Markell. Maybe many of you listened to her radio program. And Jan came into, she just came into my life. And I always hated my accent. And this pastor that was sitting with me, we had communion together. He said to me, you know, you have an accent. I said, yeah, I know. I shouldn't. I've been here long enough. But God needs that accent, because when people hear the accent, they ask me, where are you from? And I tell them, I'm from Germany. Of course, if I say that, a red flag probably goes up in my mind. They probably thought I was a Nazi. And I said, no, I'm a survivor of the Holocaust. Oh, then they will listen. So there, God permits certain things to happen in our life. It's just amazing. And also, what is so fantastic, God gave me, from the time I was born, a very athletic ability. And I remember when I finally came into this world, after 36 years for my mother to struggle to have me, they had to put a basket under her because I made a dive into that. And my mother said, I bet that kid is going to be an athlete. And she was right. But God, you know, gave me the ability and the opportunity, because I had to attend the German schools, most of them run by Nazis. And that's what helped me, because we had, Hitler wanted, you know, strong people. So we had physical education every day, and I loved every moment of it. So he, step by step by step, he introduced me to my life. But he always prepared me somehow. We got a pretty clever guy, I tell you. He kind of sneaks up at you. So after I had been to church with my friends, I ran home. I had to tell my mom and my sister. And of course, my sister, she was the older one. She was, you know, I was little pipsqueak. And when I talked about Jesus, of course, neither one of them had concerned themselves with it. And when I was done, they said, oh, yeah, sure, my mom said, and my sister too, we know your imagination. And I know you're very artistic. You probably even draw Jesus too, but we don't believe you. Well, I said, I'm sorry. And so then the next day I cried to my friends. I said, I tried so hard to blow some sense into them that this is real, but they won't listen. And the kids that took me to church, I said, what am I going to do? And they said, don't, just step back, keep loving them, and your love will soften their hearts. And don't look down on them, and just let the Lord do the doing, because he's better at that. He'll find a way. And sure enough, several years after I had found Christ, my mother became a Christian, and I think the people that befriended her had a good influence on her. And it was wonderful when she believed. And she said to me, Why was I so stupid and didn't listen to you? I said it wasn't the right time. And it was wonderful, though, when we both had the same thing, same idea and belief. In 1933, Adolf Hitler came to power, and the scene of my life began to change abruptly. Because to him, Jewish people were just dirt. I mean, he accused them to be at fault. The Jews caused the war and everything. It was terrible. And life became very difficult for us. And at that point, my father left us. And that brought us right straight into the arms of our persecutors. But it was okay. We had Christ, and it was so wonderful when Christ came into my mother's life. She became a changed person too. See, I wanted her to become a Christian right away when I talked to her about it, you know. But no, it took much more than that. And it was good, because one fine day, and I have to backtrack here, I had to go to the German schools, and I had some teachers that were very devout Aryans, very, very Nazis, and especially my main teacher. She would stand there and she would pray to Hitler's picture with so much pathos and tears running down her eyes and everything. And then we had to lift up our hands like this and mumble. Hitler never came over my lips. I just mumbled something, and then we had to sing the German anthem. And she was horrible. She was so mean to me when she found out that I was one of the undesirables. And because we all had to register, and those registration blanks, they listed you either a Jew or you are an Aryan. And I said to my mom, I was 7 years old and I was at the end of first grade. I said, where do I sound? She said, you have to sign under the undesirables. And I said, good, because I wouldn't like to sign over there, because at least I don't have to feel guilty about anything. But when I came home and I would lamenting about the teacher and how she would degrade my grades and how she would shame me and ridicule me in front of the class, my mother said, I know you're upset. I know you. It hurts what she's doing. I said, and I try so hard. Do I learn all my lessons at home? And she will not listen to me. She will just keep on being nasty. She said, Anita, you have to accept that now. You have to just stay close to Jesus, and he'll get you through. We all have to suffer. All those of us that don't belong to the Nazis, we have to suffer. But we have Jesus, and that's the best one that you could have. So just cling to him. And do your schoolwork well, and even if she belittles you, just learn to accept it. Pardon me, that's just water. I said that once in a Baptist church when I was preaching, teaching. But anyway, well, life passed on. And when my father left us, I didn't miss him, because I was not one of his favorites. He loved my sister, but he wanted a boy, and I didn't turn out to be a boy. I tried to be a tomboy, but that wasn't good enough. So when he left, I did not miss him. And at first, we didn't even know where he had gone. He was a member of the party that Hitler hated, and so he had a strike against him, and then to have a Jewish wife was just unbearable for him, so he tried to run away, and finally the Nazis caught up with him and brought him back, and he spent some time in prison because of a membership in the Social Democratic Party. But when he came out, he told my mother, I remember I was in bed already, told my mother one evening, I want you to get out of the house. I don't want you anymore here. And right now you leave. And when I heard that, my sister was asleep already. When I heard that, I climbed out of my bed and I hung on to my mother and I said, no, you don't go alone. I go with you. And when we came downstairs, he tried to bribe me with a teddy bear. He threw my mother out, but he gave the teddy bear, and I took the teddy bear and I threw it at him. I said, you can't bribe me with the teddy bear. I'm going with my mother. So we went. But she had a good friend who told her one time, and even if he kicks you out in the middle of the night, just come and you can stay with us. So we stayed there. My sister loved Daddy. She was Daddy's sweetie. And she pulled the covers over her head and pretended she was asleep, but she wasn't so. Well, anyway, before Hitler came, I did something and I got something given to me by God, the ability to dance. And my mother enrolled me in a ballet school. And I was only about 4 and a half years old. And the teacher tested me and she said, you know, you're great. God gave you a wonderful talent. I will shape and form and teach you and make you into a prima ballerina. And she said she was a prima ballerina when she was young. And she said, it's a wonderful life. And she told me all the perks I would have. And the last, she said, and people literally worship the ground you're dancing on. I didn't know what that meant, really. But I gave it my all, and I loved it. And I was about 6 years old when I gave my first solo dance before a large audience like this, all Germans. And I had about 3 weeks to study the dance with my teacher, and I wasn't so sure whether I really knew everything. And when the music started, I became completely oblivious to my environment, and I danced and I danced. And when I was done, I bowed. I had a standing ovation, and I thought, well, I didn't think I was that great. So I went behind stage, and my teacher hugged me. She said, yeah, she said, you were great. You improvised a little now and then. But it was great. And she gave me a little baby doll. And that evening when I went home, I put the baby doll next to my pillow and the ballet slippers under my pillow and had sweet dreams. Of course, I dreamed about being a ballerina. Ballet was just my life, and it was so wonderful because I... a cute little boy is looking at me. Yeah. And every time I danced, it completely took me out of my life. And ballet became my life. Well, I didn't think that God liked that very much. He wanted to be number one in my life, not ballet. So what happened was that the next day after the dance performance, a big article was in the newspaper, and it stated the dance was superbly performed by young Anita Dittmann, far above her age. But our German people, we don't want to be entertained by a Jew. And because of my father's absence, money was very scant, and there out went my ballet. But then when I looked at the the pastor that I got to know gave me a little Bible, and he talked to me, and I took confirmation lessons and everything. And pretty soon, I felt ballet going away into the distance behind me. And Jesus took the place, and it was so much better. I lost something that was so important, but I gained something much more important, Jesus Christ. He became my best friend, and when kids used to sometimes mock me after school, little German boys, and they would throw horse manure at me and God knows what and call me Jew brat. Yeah, it was tough. But you know, I didn't ask the Lord to take it away from me. My mother said, you have to learn to be strong. And all I could say, walk with me, Lord, through it all. And he did. It was amazing. I better get going because I got so many miracles to share with you that I don't know how much time have I got. An hour? Or I better escalate. Life took on horrible moments. It was just unbelievable, the things that happened. But I was blessed. In Germany, we have 4 years of grade school, and then if we pass some pretty stiff examinations, we can go on to high school. And of course, my father, he had come back from where he had been, and he wouldn't have paid anything for me. But since my sister was attending the school, I got in for free. So that was good. It was wonderful. I think I was 15 years old when the principal walked into my schoolroom and he said, Dittmann, you come out and I have something to give you. And when I looked at it, he pulled it out of an envelope that had the Gestapo headquarters as a sender. It was from the Gestapo. And informing me, due to my Jewish heritage, I'm permanently suspended from school. And he looked at me and he said, it's high time that the German government is going to cleanse our school system of riffraff such as yourself, he said. Go and don't come back. Well, I hated to lose my learning and my schools, but other people went through worse things. We already heard the word concentration camp, and many of my mother's relatives, my cousins, already had been taken, and many people in the little district where we lived, excuse me, they should invent nose plugs. Of course, with my luck, I'd probably lean over and it'll fall out. So I came home and I said to my mom, you know, I don't know what's going to happen next. And sure enough, I was home for a little while and I helped my mother, and they had taken my mother to a heavy forced labor factory where she toiled many, many hours. And I took over the household, but we all lived in a big building. We couldn't live in that nice little apartment anymore on the outskirts. The authorities told us to go. There was a big, huge, 200-year-old, imagine. Yeah, the Germans built for life, really. And we had to move there. I literally left my childhood behind. But it's okay. We were many people who we're in the same boat, so to speak, and little by little by little, we would see people disappear. The Nazis would come and pick them up and send them to Auschwitz or Buchenwald or any of those camps. And pretty soon, my mother's three older sisters moved in with us. And it was crowded, it was tough. They argued a lot, but we all knew that our freedom will be short-lived. Because I was afraid one of these days they're going to pick up my mother, and sure, there was my mother and I labored in a big factory from morning until evening, and it was hard work, but at least we were still home. And we would be exhausted when we'd get home, but we would always say, thank God, we are still at home. That didn't last long either. One day we were getting ready to get to the factory, and there was a knock at the door early in the morning, about, I would say probably 6 o'clock. And when we opened the door, two SS men stood out there and they said, we're coming for Hilda Dittmann. And I said, and he put his hand over my mouth, said I wouldn't say anymore. We have orders from Hitler to pick her up. And so he said to her, he grabbed her by the collar of her coat, pushed her into our room. And our room was our only belongings, and they put red labels on everything. And they said, everything that is labeled in red will be picked up tomorrow. You can keep your bed, you can keep your, you know, your toys or whatever you have, but everything with a red label, and don't touch anything. Your mother signed a statement, that which she just did, that everything in this room was her property. Well, it isn't any longer her property. It will be the property of the state. And tomorrow the authorities from the Gestapo will come. They will pick everything up. And if you want anything back, you're going to have to pay for it at greatly inflated prices. I didn't have that kind of money. So my mother gave me my father's phone number. He had remarried, and they were living in out different city. You can call him and see if he would come and help you buy the furniture back. Well, he came, and he put his arms around me and said, I'm so sorry this is happening. I said, if you wouldn't have left that, it wouldn't be happening. Well, he said, we can't talk about that now. But he helped me. He gave me the money to get my furniture back. Well, at first I wasn't quite sure where they had taken my mother. I know it was going to be in Czechoslovakia. There was a very large camp, not too far from the capital. That was the capital of Czechoslovakia, was Prague. And I think that's where she is. I didn't hear anything from her, but finally when I heard from her, I was so happy that she was alive. And she didn't elaborate on anything too much, but she asked me if I would send her some food sometimes, because the food was very scant. And I did. I went on my knees one night. I said, Lord, I will be very glad to share my rations with my mother, but keep me well and keep me strong that I can come to work every day so I can have the money to buy the food. And I had registered my ration cards where we used to live, because they knew us, and I had an old rickety old bicycle that I got for giving the people my winter coat, so that I could have a bicycle that I could pedal in, because the streetcars were overcrowded. And I pedaled my bike way back to the other side of this big city. It was a huge city, 658,000. And there I would get my food rations. And one day I decided to send my mother German rye bread, among other things. And the bread in Germany is very different. It's so solid you could almost sit on it without making a dent into it. But it was very nourishing, and I love it. I still try to find places where they make it. And I let my mother know to comfort her. She could receive mail, which I was grateful for, and she could receive food. But the German guards, the Nazi guards, they would open the packages and help themselves to the food in those packages. They were well nourished. This was just mean. But my mother was smart. Whenever I would send her a package, she would always send a little card. And she was allowed to do that. And she would name each item so I know nothing was taken out of it. Well, I prayed that God would keep me strong so I can work. And the work was very hard, 10 hours a day. And I had to lift 100 pounds by myself several times a day. Yeah, it was tough, but thank God I had all those years of physical education. It helped me a great deal. And one day I woke up, they picked her up on the 7th of January 1944, and this was about summertime, and I just couldn't understand why I didn't get the bread this time. I got Zwieback. Zwieback is toast. And I found out 10 days after I had sent her the package of Zwieback, she thanked me. She said, you know, God must have heard my prayer, she said, because I prayed that he would enlighten you and send me Zwieback, because she had been stricken with dysentery and couldn't eat the dark bread. But ultimately she recovered. But I said, wow, what a hotline to heaven, you know. It's still going. It's still going. And I read the other day in my devotional a little phrase, if you call on God and he puts you on, you know, on wait, don't hang up. Just keep waiting. He will hear you. I was so glad that I had this contact. Of course, we had to be very careful what we said. Well, then one day, it was about the 9th of August, that about 8 months after my mother was picked up, I got a notification from the Gestapo to be ready the next morning at the main railroad station, and that I would be shipped off to an unknown destination with about 300 others, and so forth. And I thought, how? And I went on my knees. I said, Lord, how am I going to let my mother know? Well, he wasted no time. He gave me the inspiration to go out in the it was dark already, but to go out at the store and buy a loaf of that nice, firm bread. And it had a red label on one end. So with a knife, very carefully, I trimmed off the label. And then I used a round-handled knife and stuck it way back into the bread. And then I rolled up my note and I stuffed it way down in there. And I put the label back on with some flour paste. And you know, you couldn't tell I'd ever done anything with it. And then I called one of my friends. I said, you know, but the girl that I went to school with, they still remain friends with me. And I said, could you come over and pick up a loaf of bread that I'm wrapping right now for my mom? I can't send it off because I'll be gone tomorrow. And she said, I'll come right now. And she did. And while I was wrapping that bread, I said, Lord, I ask for a miracle. I know you've given me so many of them, but please protect that loaf of bread, that if it falls into the hands of the Nazi guards, that they wouldn't take that loaf of bread, please protect. And you know what he did? And I didn't find that out until 11 months later. The bread arrived covered with a thick layer of green, moldy, fluffy mold. And I found out then, too, 11 months later, that for the first time that bread was moldy. The Nazi guards wouldn't eat moldy bread. Let that woman have the moldy bread. And what was interesting, my mother was so hungry that she scraped all the mold away, and inside the bread was as fresh and nice as if they had just baked it. Even God had time to work with that moldy bread, you know. He has time for everything for us. My pastor taught me too. He said, don't ever think there's anything too small, for the Lord doesn't see it. He sees everything, no matter how small it is.